Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Harmontown once again is in session. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing tonight? Fantastic. Welcome to Hollywood, California, the Nerd Melt Theater. And thank you for listening to us out in the podcast universe. Please put your hands together and open your hearts for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
You guys are fab or mod or whatever you whatever that music was. Jeff, it's an important night tonight. I'm very excited, not because I'm in a good mood. I guess I am, but just narratively and like kind of a...
It's a big night for stuttering.
Conceptually, you just pointed out in the green room before we took the stage that we are standing at the precipice of a nexus here. I didn't know. I really don't follow the politics, but we just did the math in the green room. Even though right now, tonight in this room, we have no idea who the next president will be. When this airs, we will know. So we have an opportunity to create multiple timelines. My favorite thing. We are
living on a razor's edge right now.
we are Schrodinger's nation.
Either there's a guy that's still a president that we don't know anything about or what happened at all, or there'll be a new guy who seems like a douchebag.
Who seems like, yeah.
Or a lovely guy if he's the president now. If he's not the president, my hat is off to you, sir. Well-run campaign.
Yes, please.
And get those jobs for people. I don't watch the news. I don't like politics. Dan and I don't know the first thing about politics.
Well, just surrender your mind. Yeah. Don't even pontificate about it. Just let's just leap into it. Let's do two different openings. The same audience, same enthusiasm, if you please. Well, whatever, however you want. But like, bring me...
Does somebody have a coin, a quarter?
Yeah, let's do
a coin.
All right, heads Obama, tails Romney?
Yes.
We'll do both.
Just to be fair, we're going to pick, like at a debate, they flip coins to see who goes first. Coin has been flipped.
It's heads. Obama won. Okay. So let's
Obama,
bring Wait, sorry.
No.
Well, that's fine. That's fine that you're enthusiastic.
He may or may not have won. He won.
I'm sorry. We didn't mean to tell you.
That's not how the Electoral College works, you guys.
We're not Diebold. We don't.
Harmontown doesn't have the power that you think we wield.
We didn't invest in a bunch of voting machines.
God, what if that was? John King would be out of a job.
Holy shit. No, but I was just saying, hold your applause for, because do the whole opening. Because, okay. Like, depending on who wins, we would come down to the right side. So okay, just bring me up.
Zach, bring the lights
down. You guys pretend that you haven't seen me yet.
All right, so go back out there. Are you going to stay up here and make a drink?
Whatever.
Okay, we'll start it again. All right.
Harmontown is now in session. Put those Democratic hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
We did it, motherfuckers! We did it!
4 more years! 4 more years! 4 more years! 4 more years! 4 more years!
Fuck you! I love abortions! I mean, I don't love them, but if I want to love them, I'll love them. Fucking.
No, I just got myself an honorary abortion last night.
I'm in such a good mood tonight, Jeff, because Obama won the election.
I'll tell you what, though. It was a squeaker.
Ugh.
It was a squeaker.
It's fucking weird how every 4 years it's a squeaker. I don't get it. It's almost like there's some weird industrial military complex pretending like we have a choice when we don't actually.
Wait, Dan, are you saying that voting for one of two people, it was an electoral college, it creates a myth of efficacy that your vote doesn't matter at all?
Jeff, that would be crazy. Who would be incentivized to do that except a higher echelon of rich people that own everything? Why would all of them who have everything in common do that to a bunch of poor people who also have everything in common and outnumber the motherfuck out of them? Why would they do that?
Dan, but what's in it for them? Why would they lie to us about that?
I don't know. I just love it that Obama won! It feels good because, and here's why it feels good, because that other guy was fucking creepy.
I can't believe in a field of Republican candidate choices. I mean, there were some weirdos in there.
They're down to Mormons now. Next year, there'll be a guy with a snake for a necktie. Next year. It's every year, right? Well, it will be because there's a black guy in the White House. It'll be every year now. They're going to change the rules in the Congress.
I remember right up until the very moment that Pennsylvania finally got their head out of their ass and fucking just barely went for Obama. Because, boy, was that a swing state. But I remember thinking, this guy Romney, it always seemed like a joke that
he was constantly a joke. He was here's some other names that you don't remember. Steve Forbes,
Gabe Rasmussen.
Names like especially on the Republican side. I mean, there's a million on the Democrat side too, but it's so weird. We will never thank God hear the words John McCain again. He revealed himself in the final stages to be so vile. And right at the end there, Romney just went radio silent. They just fucking turned into that's what an alligator does, right? It just turns into a pair of eyes above swamp level. It just like that's what a cat does right before it pounces. I thought Jeff for a second that something shady was about to happen. Turns out we still live in a completely democratic nation.
You're talking about the big dispute in Indiana. The big voter fraud thing in Indiana.
Oh shit! That thing that happened where people thought that Obama's dick
that was a ballot.
They counted his dick as a ballot.
They kept punching it.
It turns out 70-year-old women who fought in World War II. dicks can be ballots to them because they're back then paper was made of hemp before pot was illegal.
Right.
So you were allowed to back then tattoo your presidential choice from overseas onto a slave's dick and send him to America, and it was an absentee ballot.
But this is Indiana.
This is all a bunch of bullshit. I mean, it doesn't... the point is, 70% of Indiana was, unaccounted for, and it was a sway. But anyways, Obama won. It was great.
All right. Or did he?
Is back in session. Put your fascist hands together for the viewer of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. How's everyone doing tonight?
4 years. 4 years.
Let's hope this one is an 8. Yeah, I don't know.
What the fuck?
I'm in a surprisingly. I'm looking at the positive side of it though. This is very much to me
what are you talking about?
We have
a new president, everybody, in the White House.
Mr. Matavius Romney. I think that's his full name.
Matavius.
We should probably stop colloquializing him. He's the commander in chief. He deserves more respect than that. I support our troops. I support the people that don't support them.
How many people here voted for Mitt? Wow, just the one.
See, it's weird. It's weird.
California's a blue state.
Barely any of us voted at all.
It was Pennsylvania and Indiana who did it, man. Those motherfuckers.
God damn it. Swing states. But I think, I'm bummed out that I can't get an abortion anymore. Obviously. And look, we've all known. I mean, this argument's been raging forever. I mean, we've known that abortions have been that coin landing on its edge every election after every election.
But Dan, as somebody that was recently fired off of a television sitcom, you're probably happy to have somebody in office whose main focus is to get you a job again, right?
Yes. No, and just so much about money and the economy and the trickling down with the HMOs and the hedge funds. It's such a relief, because the last thing you want to do is in a giant nation full of people is help people. I just find that repulsive, and I don't see how you're going to make money that way, and I don't see how obviously his dad was very poor. And,
yeah, but how do you feel about the fact that he lost the popular vote by 400,000 votes and still won?
You know what? I mean, that system's in
the
place
Electoral
for a
College
reason.
Is a mystery to me. The Electoral College, I'll never understand it. Why does Montana get to decide who wins the election?
Because there's less people there than there are senators or something.
Here's two things that people don't know. Nobody's really ever going to have a good grasp of daylight savings time or the Electoral College. Yeah. And in the last 3 days, we had them both.
But this is an underdog story. This is important. I think it's good that we live in a nation now where Romney got elected.
Yeah, because you know why? Because
anything's possible.
Because he won, which is amazing, without a single woman voting for him.
That's more than half the nation.
Yeah, I mean, that just says how much women love Romney.
Because, you know, like, women are allowed, you're picturing your mom with the rolling pin and she's telling you, like, well, what your father says is best. But she gets to pull a curtain still. They haven't revoked that yet.
Not yet.
She can actually secretly vote for Obama, and she didn't.
Well, also women just don't turn out to vote. Women don't care about
they love making their little pancakes with their rolling pins. That's their vote.
They make pancakes.
They cast it every time they flip a flapjack. I vote for more griddles.
I'm more disturbed that women are still using rolling pins on pancakes, because that's
well. Don't you make them flat that way?
No.
I need a wife. Thank you, Mitt Romney, for your new Mormon no husband left behind program.
No pancake over an eighth of an inch program.
Thank God I can now have 95 wives. All right, so end our political segment for tonight. Let's reset. Everyone's got a bad taste in their mouth. They feel like Mitt Romney won the election. Can we just reset it and pretend elections don't matter and start Harmontown?
I'm going to do it, but I'm going to play I don't know. I'm looking at a song off of Zach, our tech guy's iPod here. I'm going to restart the show with the song I don't know.
All right. I'm just going to crouch. I won't even come up.
Okay. Let me see if we have this right. Who framed the blow? It was the 5-0. Harmontown is again in session, everybody. Please put your hands together for the guru of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
The election doesn't matter to the black, to the white, to the salt, pepper, gonna fuck you tonight. I got a mustard to the ketchup, got a ketchup to the mustard, gonna go to your mama, got an Indian custard, gonna battle you on the battle of Big Hill, gonna fuck your mama like your name was Lauren Hill, gonna hill rhymes with hill, gonna take the pill, little jagged pill, got a Alanis Morissette references, I got a 90s man, got a 40 years old, I got a bad back, don't know what I'm told, I got a motherfucker, got a hand on my head, I got a motherfucker gonna make some bread. You don't do it like a flapjack, use a rolling pin. Gonna fuck your mama if she lets my dick in. Gonna put it in her butt, gonna put it in her mouth. East, west, north, south.
Dan Harmon, everybody. Dan Harmon. That's been Harmontown. Thank you so much for coming. Is that too short?
No, that felt too written, because the fucking beat broke down with east, west, north, south. That was too badass. I was like, wait, that was improv.
Yeah.
I promise you. Yeah. There's photographs of me not making that up on the way out. I know that seemed awesome. Then he ruined it by over-apologizing for how awesome it seemed.
I think review...
Then he was, of course, out of breath from rapping.
Review of
there
that
was
audio.
That embarrassing moment.
Review of that audio will reveal that was truly improvised. The mustard to the ketchup to the ketchup to the mustard. Somehow mustard and ketchup makes it. Oh, you dropped your drink.
Adam Goldberg, can you pour me another drink?
Welcome to Romney's America.
Yeah. I decided to start putting them to use.
just now, in this moment.
Did you put any ice in it?
No.
Yes.
Wow. That's mostly ice water. Adam Goldberg, everybody.
Mustard to the ketchup, ketchup to the mustard. It was badass when I ran that with custard, remember? All that right. Was fucking badass. Fucking condiment wrap.
I can smell my own armpits right now.
Is that you?
I thought
it was Adam.
No, that's not. That's not an onion. It's
It smells like anarcho punk concert.
I took off my sweater and it's wafting through the whole. It's about when you stink up a comic book store. That's like making dirt dirty.
But this isn't your normal level of body odor. This is souped up.
It's because fucking Romney won. It's crazy. All right, let's do the segment that's me complaining about things that I'm not allowed to complain about. Thank you. I'm excited about it now. Maybe that'll make it bad. Okay, I talked to my gardener. I talked to him. For those of you who are faithful listeners, you know one of my problems that I wasn't allowed to complain about is that I felt like my gardener was up to no good. My grass is turning brown, and it seems like he doesn't give a shit. Same gardener that the previous owners had for 35 years. Well, I'm sure not for... he'd be like a weird Kubrick, like space baby. But he was there for a long time. I inherited him from... That seems politically incorrect. I indentured him his servitude. Ugh, I can't find the right words for the truth.
It's okay. Romney won, man. It's all good.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I own this guy that was the. I was like, yeah, you've been doing a great job. Continue to do it. The grass slowly started dying away. I have a feeling. My theory is, I think the old German lady that lived there before me. I think she was out there every day. I think she loved her. Clearly, I moved into a house that was cared for by its matriarch.
There were edelweisses.
Just flowers everywhere. Just everything's beautiful. It was beautiful, and I moved in, and it's dying. And it's not just because I'm evil. And I know that it doesn't work that way. It's also because I don't water them.
Well, you did call it Danadu. Isn't that kind of curse?
That should be enough, in my opinion.
It's just going to end up as you in a fireplace and a chair, and just complete blackness.
But slowly, the grass is returning from green to brown again. Yeah, and the heading of this is things I'm not allowed to complain about. So it's fuck you for judging me while I complain about it.
What do you think the remedy for that is?
Well, I talked to the gardener.
And?
And I said, seems like the grass is brown now. And he said, and kind of nodded his head. And I was like, well, is there anything we can do to make it green? And he said, winter seed, we could put winter seed. There's things we could do. I was like,
It was 95 degrees today. It's not winter.
I would like to do those things that you're talking about. He rattled off a bunch of things, and it was like, I threw in, I'll pay anything. And he said,
that's what he was waiting for.
I'll invoice you. He's like a teamster with grass. That's what it is. He was ways leaning on me. Waiting to see how much I cared.
I think you're allowed to complain about that.
Next.
That, you're justified.
Not without sounding like a fucking dick to a nation of renters. next thing on my list. My mail program on my computer won't let me turn it off.
Ooh.
All right.
What do you mean? Like on your computer, it won't let you quit the application?
Every time I want to shut down the computer, it says, mail won't let you quit. I wouldn't call myself a hacker in days of old, but I used to know how to make a fucking... I won the Future Business Leaders of America competition in high school. For computer applications and business, I wrote a code for a Commodore 64 that would run an invoice program. I was competing with guys who were writing in Pascal and Cobalt. I won with my Commodore 64 basic program. It was like 20 pages long. I won second place. But I was a code monkey. I don't know what they call them. I was a programmer. I used to make these machines my bitch, and I just, you turn into your grandpa. I remember my grandpa before he died of emphysema. Like, I remember him like fighting to the bitter end, like with his specs on his nose, like running his little Mac, like when they looked like those little beige machines with a little smile face on them, and he's like, how do I? I just go. I just want to make a spreadsheet for the Masons. I'm up to 33rd level. I gotta. It's okay, Grandpa. It's beyond you. It doesn't matter. No, I won't. I want to know. I knew how to make a fucking truck out of sticks. I fought the Nazis and won. I deserve this. And died because no one cares about his money. Now I'm 40. I can't make these fucking things work. It's not a warning. It's not a message. It's a complaint. It's not a complaint that you care about. Fuck you.
It's just deeply, deeply sad.
It's getting very hard for me to run my computer. You happy, kids? Is that what you wanted? You want to shut me out? Well, guess what? Guess what you're shutting out? The creator of Monster House. You just lost everything I could have told you on Reddit. All right, next thing. I hate writing. I'm writing a bunch of things for a living, and I hate writing. I hate it.
Is that why you keep getting fired from jobs?
No, sir. God damn it, no! Don't make that mistake. I lose those. I get fired because I love writing those shows when they get on the air. I hate the process is painful and it's terrible.
So your inertia, like a writer at rest, it's hard to get that body in motion, and once it's in motion, it's hard to stop the
writing. Here's a popular analogy that guys writers use that women love. It's like childbirth. Yes, it's worth it. Yes, it's wonderful. Yes, it's a miracle. Yes, therefore I like doing it. No, I don't like doing it. It's terrible. It hurts. It's the worst. I would rather not have to do it, but I know that if I didn't have to do it, I'd be a shitty person. I don't want to have to do it. I do want to have to do it. I hate it. Sucks. Fuck you. Hate writing. Stupid. It's a dumb... I don't like these people who make these blogs that you run across where they go like, the joy of creativity. Like, I just like to talk. I'm a mother of three, and I have a Tumblr, and I like to talk to you about my writing career. And I'm a published author. I've had three poems about sesame seeds in my... I shouldn't have made her a woman because he's sexist. Make it a guy.
But keep the sesame seeds.
Yeah. I'm a published author. I'm a published author. I sent a thing in through an envelope, and they published in their quarterly voice. Farm report. Yeah, it doesn't matter. This is how they hear this person. Yeah. Here's my blog entries. Oh, the forbidden stranger. My forbidden stranger comes to me in moments that I don't understand.
Are you sure this is about writing?
Well, that you're not supposed to know until the end. Oh. They're talking about writing, but they make it sound like they're having an affair.
Sounds like a rape fantasy.
Soccer practice is canceled. The stranger's coming. He comes without warning. I wrestle with him in the mid-afternoon. My husband wishes I wouldn't do it so much, but I have to. And it's like, you're talking about writing. Hey, I'm reading your writing right now. You're describing, you suck. You're a terrible writer. Of course it's fun for you. I am sorry. Yes. Writing is you are in a prison cell with God, and he has his way with you, and you do what you can to stay alive. You exchange whatever favors you have to exchange. It is the reality.
How confident or unconfident are you that you, the next, because you have these two script deals.
They're both going to suck. Everything's going to suck.
Honestly, do you think that you're going to like...
I got to eat a turd. It's got to happen. Because Community was awesome. How good are the next two things going to be? How bad? That doesn't work. That's how it works.
Are you just projecting that to be, you know, like...
Both, yes, to pray to God that I can somehow squeak through, but also.
But you're not confident you're going to go hit these out of the park after what you've learned from writing on that show for 3 years.
Yeah, how can it just doesn't like look at anybody like somebody shout somebody's name out who went from hit to hit or not hit to hit, awesome thing to awesome thing like
Charlie Kaufman,
Daniel
Day-Lewis.
No, I'm not laughing at you, yelling it out. That's
Babe Ruth literally went from hit.
Yeah, there's to hit. Just writers. Charlie Kaufman,
Larry David.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Okay. Bar raised. I'm Charlie Kaufman, Larry David, or the next two things are gonna suck a horrible giant turd shaped dick. Dick-shaped turd. Edit it out.
And there's the title of our episode.
Now, edit it out. Make me seem like a better writer.
Turd-shaped dick. It stays in.
I remind you, this section is called Things I'm Not Allowed to Complain About Without Making People Hate Me.
But it's not called the section where I'm not allowed to scrutinize.
No. I didn't mean you. I'm just telling them because they're getting a little bummed out. But just sit through it. No, just a command. It's not a bargain. Just tolerate it.
So Romney did win.
I have too many TVs. Moving on.
Wait, yes. Right, Dan, yes you do, by the way.
I have too many TVs.
I was up. Dan has an upstairs thing. Normally when you watch a movie at Dan's new place, you watch it downstairs with a TV. What was it, like a 50-inch? It was pretty big, right? 60?
I don't know.
It was a big fella. It was a big TV. And you'd watch it down there. And then I went over to watch Labyrinth again before our last episode to refresh ourselves on a movie that Dan and I don't know or much like. And that's okay. It's a good movie. It's got problems. But I was sitting downstairs eating Kit Kats, the shitty orange Halloween Kit Kats. They probably taste the same, but they don't fucking taste the same because they're orange and it's gross.
I feel like they step on them a little bit.
Yeah.
To put it in wire terms.
Also, don't convince me that chocolate can be any color and taste as good as your shitty brown chocolate. Yeah. Like it should be brown for a reason.
I feel like there's a stringer bell of Reese's at the Reese's plant that's like, are we ready for Halloween, man? No, there's more kids than usual this year. They're all dressed as shit and they all need Reese's. Step on it.
We can't step on a chocolate, man. The whole thing is chocolate.
Put more orange chalk on it, motherfucker. I don't have to tell you this shit. It's The Wire.
The Wire.
Timely. Most of you are 9.
So I'm downstairs waiting to watch this movie. And then Aaron yells, Jeff, no, we're watching upstairs. I didn't know that you had the upstairs movie arena like all done. And he's got this big room with a bigger TV screen, movie screen, whatever the fuck. But there's another room next to it, which is as large or larger, and there's another giant screen in that one. Not as big as the one that we're going to go in with the big couch. But there's a screen like a 60-inch screen. And
80.
Uh-huh.
80.
80? In the first room. With the,
Oh, yeah. 60.
That's a bar room.
Probably 60.
A 60-inch screen. I'm about to hang a hard right into a room with an 80-inch screen. But before then, I'm bringing pizza in. I'm putting pizzas down, and there's a 60-inch screen. And I'm looking at that screen, and I turn around. So that screen is about, let's say, 7 feet from my face. And I turn around, and there's a 40-inch screen 3 feet from my face.
Because I moved the couch. So you have to be looking at something. And then when I moved the couch, the 60-inch became obsolete. It's just above a couch now. So if you're sitting on that couch, there's just a TV behind your head. I could put, like, trees or something. I'd be, like, hanging out. Like, oh, it's like a future window. It's like Logan's Run. A girl can appear on it and go, would you like to spend the night with me? But it's not for actual viewing. I just don't know what to do with it. I'll sell it. I don't know. But I have too many TVs. It's enough. That's enough talking about it. It's uncharismatic. Too many TVs.
I do like that Dan's got this. There's a room that when Dan first bought the house, I was up there with him, and it used to be someone like the old patriarch of the house's office. It was this giant cabinetry thing going on that took up like a lot of the room. There was a doorway that was too small, and there was a giant desk in there. And I was like, maybe this is the movie room. He's like, yeah, but where would you sit? Whatever. So he's got it all figured out in this big, beautiful sectional couch. But there really is nowhere to set the drink. And
the coffee table's coming.
Yeah. Well, no. But I thought something, and you said it without me saying it. You're like, we're going to move the couch away from the wall about 3 inches. We're going to put a little bar rail behind it. I'm like, that's exactly what I was.
If you buy a home, kids, It becomes Joan Rivers' face. It becomes like this, or Minecraft. It just becomes like this constant, like, well, if I moved this wall back 3 pixels, it's just, it'll be your new thing. Or you're not a dick like me.
But I will say that you're not the most aesthetically minded person I've ever known, but your house is coming together wonderfully. It looks great.
Well, you bring up my next point, my final complaint, the ending tonight's segment called Things I'm Not Allowed to Complain About. Girlfriend not getting along with my designer.
Oh, yeah. Tale as old
You guys know
time.
How it is. Yeah. Never from the beginning. He's not a good person, and they don't get along right. And I think they both fit into the same. If you have a designer, he's coming into your home to do what a girlfriend would do if she moved in with you. That sounded sexist, right? Kind of. But there is. I don't mean that that's what women are supposed to do. I just mean that a person that you're bringing into your home to go, what kind of couch should I get and all this stuff? They're trampling on.
You're bringing a professional male nest builder,
right?
Into the nest.
Especially me, typically. Like maybe this is not true. True for half the guys here. I shouldn't say this is a thing, but for me, I have no opinions about this stuff. So that professional nest builder comes in, no wrong answers from him, kind of. Like, he is functioning as a girlfriend in that capacity, because I am going like, I don't know, whatever you want. I'm just like, I don't care about this shit. I secretly do, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know what you're talking about. So it's a friction. There's a friction there. They don't like each other.
How does that manifest?
He buys a pillow and she says it's itchy.
Is it itchy?
It's itchy. Aaron's right.
Okay.
But I'm not going to have Aaron decorate my house. Jeff, these are things I'm not allowed to complain about.
Dan?
Thank you. That's the end of the... I'd like to make one more addition. I think the audience is a little too assertive with their end of the segment applause. I think you've gotten a little too big for your clapping britches. You don't think I know what that means? All right. Now we've reached an agreement.
All right,
I think.
What we do need out of an audience is to be less transparent when they really want to get out of here, and we've gone too long. We need it to sound more organic when an applause thing comes up, because like sometimes it sounds like you guys just want us to get off the stage.
Don't confuse them.
Don't put too much on them. Like I kind of trickle in. You know, like have a kind of dovetail in it on applause, and both think, oh, that was spontaneous. The show is over. Applause.
Here's an example: throwing my designer under the bus. He was unwrapping a plastic bag, had a carpet in it. He said, "So, what are you guys doing for the holidays?" We're going to London and Amsterdam. London's dirty. Yeah, it's not a. It's a silly thing to say to somebody that just told you they're going to London. What are we supposed to do? Like, send an advance team to sweep? we'll try to pick up some shit while we're there.
And at Christmas time, it's covered in snow. It looks gorgeous.
All right, we won't go to London.
No, it'll be white. It'll be
dirty.
It'll be white and beautiful.
Jeff, what do you?
I didn't mean it in a racist way.
Just to continue the mire that is tonight. It's like a molasses swamp that we've sunk into. It's sad. It's dark. It's a dark, dark energy. It's a terrible show. It's awful.
No, we started off. We were killing it.
No. Well, that political shit. It's hot button. It's Jon Stewart shit. It's child's play. He does it every week. Doesn't matter.
But you keep insisting on this thing I'm not allowed to complain about thing, and then you end it by saying that wasn't very charming of me to complain about.
You're right. I backpedal too much. I should fucking barrel ahead. That's my last complaint. Myself. I handle these complaint sections too bad. Now applaud, kazoo. All right. Moving on. What do you tip? What the fuck are you supposed to tip? I'm up to like 38% now. Because it just doesn't... I don't know. You see in movies, I'm way above 20% now. And it doesn't matter if you do a bad job or a good job. I can't risk that. I don't know karmically like what I'm supposed to do. I've never... There's not a single person that has ever served me well or served me... That hasn't gotten anything under a 20% tip in the last a million years. I just... I by default, it's 20% for sure, and then I'll like round up even more out of mathematical insecurity. I don't understand it. If I hate to rehash the whole Tarantino thing from the beginning of Reservoir Dogs, but it is a weird question because we've made it part of our economy, and it doesn't make any sense because it's supposed to be a reward, and I'm just tipping everybody. All right, that was my last complaint.
What do you think it should be?
I don't know. There's no should. If you told me it should be 50%, I'd believe you.
What would make you comfortable? Like if you set the bar somewhere, what would you want to say?
I'm telling you, I swear to God, if you raised me in a society where it was customary to tip 50% of what the thing was, I would go, okay. But I would also go, the word customary tip is kind of a weird, it spirals you into a, what is going on here?
I believe that everybody should tip for services like that. It's part of the gig for service bartenders, waiters, things like that.
But you know they've systematized it. They've institutionalized it.
Yeah. But also, under-tipping is bad. I think 20% is perfect, but whatever you can afford. And also, over-tipping is not necessary and also can be a sign of like it can be... like ostentatious and stuff like you shouldn't feel the need to tip 50%, 60%, 100% like some people do when they've got money. I'm gonna do that because then like it just skews the whole thing. I think just be an honest 20% tipper. Let's all do that.
It skews what whole thing? Is there some kind of like, should we meet on like a skull and bones island and talk about?
There's one bartender at Little Dom's who I've known for a long, long time. And he said,
Name him or it didn't happen.
If I knew anybody's name in that place, I would win a fucking toaster. the turnover rate is amazing, but I also don't know the names of the people that have been working there for 3 years. He said, hey, your friend Dave came in the other day. Dave Lyons. I go, yeah, Dave Lyons, a great friend of ours. He did. He was locations manager for Community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, really nice guy. Great tipper. he said it to me like, you could learn a couple things from old Dave Lyons.
Lots of ball play.
Yeah. Lots of ball play? Oh.
One of the community writers, a girl, Hillary Winston, she wouldn't mind me naming her because I think this is probably in her book. Hillary Winston was a community writer season two. I'm sure she tells the story in her book because she tells everything. But she shared this story about breaking up with a guy. It was like, it was a very amicable breakup. It was like one of those very healthy, like, huh. We're breaking up. We both want to break up. Let's just break up. Like, it's cool. Like, oh, huh, yeah, I guess we're just, it's not going to work out for both of us. And at some point in the conversation, he's like, yeah, I think she set herself up by going like, this feels so good. Any thoughts? And he's like, yeah, next time around, next guy, a little more ball play.
Awesome.
Amazing. Amazing of her to ask. Amazing of him to answer. Amazing answer. What?
Wait, but also the
good
idea
thing
that
they broke up for sure.
Wait, the idea that he's saying we're breaking up for maybe a lot of reasons, maybe just one reason.
For this guy, yeah. I mean, if ball play's that important and he never mentioned it, like
but
what
also,
kind of...
He clearly doesn't love her and is not going to miss her if he's suggesting that the next guy she's with gets all ball play.
Yeah, give him something.
Give, please.
This is for the cause.
To honor me. Give the next guy you're with all the ball play I never got.
That's why that...
Do that
well, he loves her. He wants her to be happy.
Yeah, be happy.
And he knows that she'll continue to get dumped if she doesn't play with your balls enough. That's what he's saying. Like, that's why the relationship didn't work out.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm the kind of guy that gives notes like more ball play. It's not related to that at all. I'm just a regular guy. You, however, you are on the precipice of a life of loneliness. If you just got to play with those balls a little more.
Look at them. They're perfect.
There's only one more thing in my Evernote file, and then we're cast adrift, and then we'll bring up Spencer.
I love being adrift.
So you knew the Harry Potter series was over, right?
No. I thought they were done making movies, but then there's always another book that comes out, right? I don't know. I just don't know.
I nobody say anything out loud, because we exist in a fascinating vacuum here. I'm curious
how, between the two of us, who knows more about Harry Potter?
I would guarantee that you know more about Harry Potter than I did.
Okay, impromptu.
I've never read the books. I have seen.
I've never read the book. You imply that I've read the books.
I'm sorry, you don't read books.
I don't read. Yeah.
I have seen all of the movies once.
All right, raise your hand if you consider yourself a Harry Potter.
Adam Goldberg's hand shut up before you. No, we didn't say
he's already getting up.
We didn't say stand up, but his hand went up. We said raise your, and his hand is already in the air.
Raise your hand if you're very familiar with the Harry Potter books to the point, and also if you're relatively comfortable getting up on stage. And what I would have you do is
Adam, don't be bashful now. Now his hand, his hand's bashfully up. We have about eight or nine hands in the air right now.
I see three. I see two. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How do we choose? Do we?
You choose.
We've been unfair to women tonight. I've heard myself say some sketchy, possibly sexist things. So let's make it a woman.
All right.
So now we're down to her, or of
the women, there's two that raised your hand up front. Are there other women in the back that raised their hands as well?
Well, who cares? I mean, they obviously got here too late.
Of the two up front, which of you thinks you the most confident about your knowledge?
Did you call yourself a level 7 Slytherin?
What's your name?
Fedora.
Fedora. Oh, Fedora. I remember that name and that hat from the Jareth contest last week.
Yes, you made fun of it.
All right, Fedora. Let's do 5 questions. If you can think of them. Don't worry about it. We'll edit it.
Okay.
Just ask a kind of like trivia question about Harry Potter and see who between me and Jeff knows.
Oh, brother.
And I mean, get basic at first.
Okay, how hard do you want me to make this?
Start off basic. Find the limits of our ignorance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you some basic things. I bet neither of us know how many movies there are.
I do not know how many.
Definitely, I don't know the number.
I would be guessing between.
I would estimate 7 or 8.
I would say 5.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so, but that's just a guess.
I obviously know the word Slytherin.
I think we got a ringer.
I saw the first one in the movie theater.
Yo,
back when it came out.
Nerd.
With my parents.
Okay, how about I start easy and then make them slightly harder?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Dan, you want to make this interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
$20?
40.
40? All right, 40 bounce.
I'll bet you my Gardner.
But you know Slytherin. I'll see you a Gardner and raise you a Taylor. All right, even though I think that I think you know more than me, I think this is a bad bet, so I'll take the $40 bet.
All right, wait. Let's put it in Harmontown terms. If
Harmon terms.
If I win, you have to
more ball play.
I was trying to think of, it's stupid.
Yeah, let's make it a nice friendly $40 bet.
$40, yeah.
Here we go. I think you're going to kick my ass around the room, but we'll see.
Okay. Can you name the 4 Hogwarts houses?
From the 4 houses. Okay, so there's 4 schools of magic. I know that one is Slytherin, because I said that. So one is Slytherin.
I didn't know there were 4 houses. One's called Knuckle Muffins. One's called Gravy Train. And Lolita's Kiss.
Poughkeepsie, magic hat.
And bumper stumpers.
No, neither of us know. Neither of us know.
Start basic, we said.
Name them. Name the 4.
Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, and Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
Bumper Stumpers is close.
Yeah.
Wait, no. My first one, I said Knuckle Muffin or something.
All right, we'll give that one to Jeff then.
No, we're not.
Bumper good. Stumpers.
Does anybody remember that game show?
Yeah.
Where you had to guess what people's personalized license plates said. Yeah, it sucked.
How did they come up with that idea?
It's
like when you go into a development meeting and like a meet and greet with an executive, another thing I'm not allowed to complain about. And we have this internal idea, and it's about, you know, when you go to your 10-year reunion, it's like you never know. So we want to develop a show. It's called 10-year reunion. Oh, how'd you come up with that idea? You fucking parasite.
You 28-year-old.
You, that's an internal idea? You didn't have a writer? Well, since it's a reality show, you'll never need one. Just get 6 cameras and go fuck everyone. Makes me a little mad.
I thought you hated writing.
I do, but I don't want it eliminated as a job. I definitely hate washing dishes a lot more. All right, continue, please.
Question Fedora. Number 2.
First of all, do you want to know what the 4 Hogwarts houses are in French? Because they're really funny.
Oui. Yes.
Okay. Gryffindor is just Gryffindor for some reason.
Not funny.
That's why I started with that
okay.
one. Okay. Slytherin is Serpentard, which kind of makes sense.
Serpentard?
Yeah.
Hey, Serpentard.
Yeah.
Nice wand.
Ravenclaw is Serdaigle, which is kind of a direct translation. It kind of makes sense. Then Hufflepuff is my absolute favorite. Hufflepuff is Pouf Soufflé. Pouf.
That's on the nose. They would be offended. The French would be offended if we suggested that was their French name for...
Pouf Soufflé? Poop?
Poof.
Oh, poof.
Oddly enough, that's also a literal translation.
Pouf Soufflé, that's great. Right. I love that.
4 more, Fedora.
Okay. Can either of you name the monster in the Chamber of Secrets?
Sam.
All right. Good guess. That sounds like a good guess. I know it'll have a lot of S's in it because he's a snake monster.
Yeah,
there's a snake monster down there.
There's certainly an S in there.
It's not Slytherin. That's the house. It's not Serpentor. That's G.I. Joe. It should be Serpentor. Cobra Khan. Don't tell her.
What is it?
Sam or Cobra Khan?
Well, Dan, you're closer because it actually is the name of a snake.
Oh, okay. What is it?
It's a basilisk.
Oh, all right. I'll take that point.
Basilisk?
Basilisk.
Mine had an S in it.
I'll take.
Okay, we're tied up. We're all tied up. We're tied at 1.
Okay. Who were the Marauders? Is that hard? Do you need another one? I'm sorry.
All right. No. Let's take a stab. Let's do it.
Who were they?
Yeah. Who
the Marauders were a group of shadow creatures that serve he whose name can't be said.
That is totally wrong. Would you like another question?
No, I get to guess too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
The Marauders were those guys that came in and tried to screw up the game of the broomstick ball, Quidditch, or whatever the fuck
it's called. Quidditch.
The guys that came in and tried to steal the Quidditch sticks.
Okay.
Who's closer?
Who's closer?
I'm going to say Jeff is closer. Because he's thinking of the wrong things, but he does know sort of what he's talking about.
I know Quidditch. I could just... All right.
Yeah. Fine.
Jeff 2, Dan 1.
Just once, but I'm knowing my shit.
2 left.
Okay, I got to make the last 2 really easy, because I think that last one was too hard.
Well, also, you don't give a point to somebody who just says Quidditch, like in the middle of his answer.
Yeah, he said yours had the name of a snake in it. That was a...
All right, fine. Even Steven.
Jeff leads 2-1. $40 on the line.
He was describing a specific scene from, oddly enough, the right book, but just had the creature wrong.
Oh, I'm a fan, Fedora.
I can tell.
You're not the first woman to fall into his sociopathic web. It sounds like he's all into whatever you're talking about.
Okay.
By the way,
you're going to be on the Los Feliz streets with a pair of high heels in your hand in the morning.
Okay.
What? Hailing a cab.
Boy, Dan, you go down 1 point, you turn into a misogynist asshole. Can't you see how good she looks in black? You look great tonight, by the
way. Don't let him do it.
You look
wonderful.
Thank you.
You're really captivating.
He's a basilisk.
I was distracted. Is the game over yet? 2-1.
Okay. What's the name of the head? What's the name of the headmaster of Hogwarts?
Grumble Snakes.
Dumbledore.
I
east side, west side, north side, south. Mama's in your titty, dick's in your mouth. Motherfuckers calling about the cocaine and the weak stuff. Fuck you, gotta shoot you in the dick, gonna shoot you in the ass, gonna fuck your mama at the head of the class. I got
Howard Hessman in the place to be.
I knew it wasn't Grumblesnags. I panicked.
Well,
I thought you had to.
As
say
in the game of Quidditch, that will cost you. You pause one moment, and the robot ball will not follow your broomstick.
All right, we are tied up at 2-2 right now. This is the deciding question.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. $40. Forty magical
salamanders.
Salamander notes.
I should make that the last question. The units of currency, but I'm not that mean.
We're guessing on everything except for Dumbledore. I freaked out and said Grumblesnakes.
No, Grumblesnakes is good. I like that.
It's a better name. You should write a young adult novel series.
I hate writing.
That's going to be when I finally start playing Dungeons & Dragons, I think that's going to be my character name.
Grumblesnakes? It's like Grumblefish.
Yeah. Okay. This is it, everybody. This is the fifth and final question.
Okay. There's a catch on this one. You have to pronounce it correctly. It's easy, but it's, you know, people get... what's the name of the bad guy? His real name. His real alias, not his real name. Yeah, now you're
I'm not. I know you're not allowed to say his name in the first movie, because that's the one I saw. And I know he doesn't have a nose. And I know it's not Slytherin.
Azkabar, fucking...
No.
Heathcliff.
William Howard Taft. I went from Heathcliff to lasagna to Garfield to our fattest president.
Is that your guess, Dan?
I don't know.
$40. I'm shooting in the
absolute
dark.
No. I know it's like Dumbledore, but it's like the inversion of Dumbledore. So fumble.
There's people
fumble,
in the audience right
fumble.
Now that are bristling with like.
Well, of course they are, because we're not saying Darth Vader. We don't know the name of Darth Vader.
Shit! What the fuck is this?
You know, it's funny. I didn't realize it was the inversion of Dumbledore, but it kind of is.
Hey, just getting in the head of an inferior craftsman.
Inversion of Dumbledore.
Dad, I'll tell you for $20.
Adam, shut up.
Imble Fleff. Just counting on getting closer than Jeff. Imble Fleff.
I'm going to say someone from a... No, that's Lord of the Rings. I fucking almost went Voldemort on that one. $40 in my pocket, yo. Bring it over me. Don't throw. I said Voldemort, make it rain. Fedora, everybody!
I gave my 20s to this motherfucker, but I won't give up.
Thank you, Fedora. Fedora, everybody. All right. Spencer, get up here and set up your wares. We always do this. We always start Spencer up too late. We always torture these people.
That was exciting.
That's all right. Yeah. How about that? Me coming up with something like spur of the moment. Little features. I'm coming up with little features.
Yeah, you're like David Letterman.
Yeah.
Except as if he had a writer that would come up with features for him.
Yeah, but I don't.
You're like your own writer, Steph.
Like if I had a Larry Bud Melman, like Goldberg, come up. Goldberg. Well, Spencer sets up. Goldberg, come up. Adam Goldberg. Let's visit Adam Goldberg. The show runs itself.
Freestyle. Adam, freestyle. Come on.
Talking to Stan, who never says please. I'm beckoned to call, and my mic's probably too hot. Justin, I'm sorry. My mic is too hot. I have a loud voice, and I'm sorry. My mic is it's too warm. It's going to crackle.
Sound check rap.
Wait, were you rapping, or was that?
he rapped a mic check.
I'm sober enough that it was intentional.
All right.
But not sober enough that it was not can't believe Mitt won.
We don't know that.
It's crazy.
Are you up here in the Mitt Romney universe?
I was ringing it up and calling it back. I was dialing up a punchline, and no one was on the other side. I'm leaving a voicemail. It's the kind of voicemail where it's just the person just leaves their number because they're too cool for their name. And it might be, you know, a chick you met at a bar. It might be an insurance salesman from Milwaukee. Nobody knows. If they call back and says, I'm an insurance salesman from Milwaukee, you have a sense of it. But she could be doing a deep voice and faking it out on you.
Let's freestyle.
Let's try it again.
I'll pass it to you.
I'll say,
my man Adam Goldberg gonna take it right now or something like that.
All right.
But I'll set you up.
Right.
And I'll lower the bar. Yo, bottom to the top, side to side. I fucked your mama and her pussy, and I made it extra wide.
Yeah.
Cause my dick is so thick, it goes too tight.
Go.
Don't react. It distracts me.
Tell him.
Okay, sorry.
Preach.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're my hype man.
Go. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, this one goes out to the ladies.
He's my hype man. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. All right. Yo. Pepper to the salt, steak to the peas. Fucked your mama so hard she fell to her knees. Beg for more of my dick till dawn. I fucked it on the lawn. Fucked your mama in the backyard and the front.
Yeah.
Fucked your mama in the C word. Sorry.
No, good save.
Starting
good save.
Over.
Right up in there.
Okay, yo. With my motherfucker right now, Adam Goldberg.
Yeah.
Gonna do it up, gonna give you the good word.
Yeah.
Adam Goldberg, the Jewish prodigy. Gonna take you all down to your knees. Let me set you up better. Motherfucker is like a tight sweater.
Yeah.
Makes your titties look good for the touching. Motherfucker's gonna be like...
Titties be better when I'm with them. I've got the stutching, you got the stiffing. I got a swear word, I won't say it. If this gets radio-edited, fuck, I'll pray it. Yo, I got Kirby spine. I got ladies in a segment that's mine. I say, what? I'll get your vodka spilled all over, because that's how I oughta.
Yo.
Spencer is a very good DM. I women. When things drop out, it's sometimes impressive. If I had a rap group, we'd be called The Messes.
All right. MC Goldberg.
MC Goldberg.
Extemporaneous, wow. Yo.
I gotta say, that took sort of a bittersweet turn toward the end there.
Because we're just wheelchairing across the finish line. Like, everyone's a winner.
Must finish this rhyme.
Just technically break the ribbon. Here's a scissors. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
I can't thank you enough. Clearly.
Adam, sit down. There you go.
He's a good kid.
See, Adam, when the little showbiz note, when someone goes, Adam Goldberg, everyone in the crowd claps, that's outro. That's you tip your hat and you walk off stage.
My theory is that he's neurologically incapable of picking up on a social cue like that. That's my theory as a person who that's also
my theory. So now I'm just telling him straight up. From now on, when I say thank you, Adam Goldberg, and the crowd goes like they make their hands make this sound, that means fuck straight off.
You're really comptrolling tonight.
You're laying it down. I got $40 burning a hole in my pocket.
All right. Spencer, how have you been doing?
Right now, I'm not feeling too good, you guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Spencer.
If I underperform or pass out or projectile vomit or shit, you'll know why.
Oh, I saw you before the show. I thought you were just high.
No. I'm not feeling too hot.
What's wrong? Jesus. Spencer, let me Dungeon Master for a change.
All right. Here.
Is he going to play Sharpie?
Take the dice. No, I mean, I can do it. It'll be
for real?
Dan,
is this a planned bit? Am I going to find out
if this
doesn't
work,
bit?
We'll put it in the Mitt Romney universe and pretend it didn't happen.
Perfect. All right. So Spencer, the Sixler, is going to come up and play. Are you playing Sharpie?
Yes.
Harmon is going to sit in and Dungeon Master.
But this is like a what if comic, you know, like if it fucks up, if I fuck it up, it didn't happen.
Can I sit?
Yes,
you may. Yeah, make yourself.
I'm fat. What?
You're not fat. You're actually. You look. You're quite in shape, I would say.
I suck it in public.
That's true.
What's wrong? What's wrong, Spencer? Is it serious?
My fat?
No. No, whatever, however sick you are. What?
Oh, no, I don't even know. I'm not 100%. I wouldn't say I'm even sick or anything.
No. Oh. Well, will you pass a saving throw?
Who knows?
Not taking his illness seriously.
All right, Harmon, I'm going to give you the our new, because of Labyrinth, the Jareth Fest last week, which is wonderful, by the way, for any of you that took part in that or were here. That really was my favorite Halloween in recent memory. It was wonderful. So I'm going to play you the new D&D theme song.
After several key defeats in the area of the Goblin Kingdom and saving the forest from the forces of Admiral Darkstar, the party known as Sharpie Butts-a-Lot, Quark Meyer Rudolph, whatever her name was, have decided to hit the treacherous road in pursuit of the Butzalot Shire, which is reputed to be the source of Sharpie's kingdom and former reclamation of his lineage. After traveling very far on a well-packed, well-trodden path, encountered a fierce bunch of gnolls and quickly took them out with a flurry of spells and missiles. You slept the night away, shook yourselves off, and proceeded along the trail to the Butzalot realm. You arrive into an open field. You see a series of tents, a village of tents laid out before you. There are watch commanders patrolling the area, as is customary in the Butzalot Kingdom.
Dan Harmon, everybody. Yeah.
All right, can we restart and have you do it? This is obviously terrible.
I thought it was amazing.
That was great.
No, you would. Let's Spencer, please restart.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
No, it's only going to get worse. Did you hear me struggling to describe tents?
I thought you did great. It was fantastic.
When we last met.
Yeah. See, now you're not booing.
Our heroes had been in Darkstar Ziggurat. After defeating him, they realized, or did they? I don't know. It just happened that the Ziggurat crumbled to the ground. The dark forest of shadows seemed to be getting more and more safe after his vanquishing. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Hey, Spencer,
you're making me look like an asshole. You did a great job up there, and I'm not doing good now.
You're right. Now we're all, the only thing you're doing what I'm doing, which is second guessing yourself. That's the only uncharismatic
That's
thing.
That's what I'm best at. All right. Hitting the trail on the way to the Butts Expanse, home of the Butzalot tribe, our heroes encountered Gnoll Raiders from the White Paw the White Skull tribe. After defeating the raiders, they dusted themselves off and looked at the loot left behind by the gnolls. And now it's up to you guys.
All right.
Oh, begin scene.
Oh. So I forget. Show me that loot again, Sharpie.
Well, we have blah blah blah.
Just some coins. There's like some tattered armors and maybe a cutlass. Definitely a cutlass.
Is it better than my sword?
Schrodinger's cutlass.
I've got a pretty good sword already. Is it valuable to me to have another sword?
Is there a green arrow on the interface next to his... that's a video game reference.
It says pick up X. But yeah, it's not anywhere near as good as yours. You can tell it's a bit rusty. The guard's a bit loose.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wouldn't take it.
All right, I'll leave it there.
You're staring at the corpses of dead gnolls.
We should probably arrange them as if they were fucking each other when they died. Just to send a message to the gnolls, because I understand them to be a very homophobic culture.
Yeah, but Trappy, my fear is that might enrage them and bring down undue wrath upon us.
They need
us.
To be enraged and self-destruct. The state of the world right now, Jeff, is one in which there's only one war left, the war between the people who own property and the people that don't. These gnolls are the last of the dregs. We've got to...
I'm sorry. Wait, are we still doing the Romney universe?
No, this is Obama.
All right, whatever. We'll leave them be.
All right.
I'll put a gold piece on each of their eyes.
Yeah. I examine my surroundings.
Rolling plains surround you, and a few trees stand on top of a hill to your west. The path bends south.
What's the name of the girl that we're traveling with? Maple Leaf?
Karen Broadleaf.
Karen Broadleaf. So are we close now? We've been traveling for like 3 days, Karen.
Yes. In fact, if I remember correctly, the Butts Plains are just over that ridge. Hmm. She points to a ridge. The Butts Plains are just over it.
Karen, are all the Butts Plains parted by a ridge?
Yes, you will find that in the Butts Plains, that geographic feature does exist.
Huh. Interesting. Just going to make a mental note of that.
All right. Let's go into the ridge between the Butts Plains. Or above the Butts Plains?
I don't know. Some direction involving the Butts Plains.
All right. Let's follow that that path toward the ridge.
Following the well-trodden path, you reach the top of the hill. Seeing the view... from the ridge, you can see the yellow tent of Yellow Camp, the primary camp of Butzalot Camp.
Wait, there were tents. How did you know that?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like he just was reading the future. Orp can predict basic.
Well, what else is going to happen? He's a storyteller. So am I. I mean, to a certain extent,
you guys colluded before this.
You know what?
Barbarians live in
tents. Like house musicians. You know, you're like banana, no, 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 banana, no. There's changes and there's keys and things. He's this guy's fucking good.
Okay.
And I'm pointing that out by saying that he said the same thing I did. Edit it out.
All right, tell me about those tents.
They are far off. There is one central.
And there's
large
a banana
tent.
Monster, right? I mean, we both would put a banana monster. I'm sorry. You're sick, and I'm fucking around. Everyone wants to get sick. Home. Let's all go home.
No, Spencer, say that.
No,
Spencer.
Oh my God, not you. I meant them.
Oh, sorry.
You get in for free. They won't
Don't
call
tell
my bluff.
Them that. All right, so yeah, the yellow tent surrounded by smaller yellow tents.
By the way, why on your guest list? Spencer is like he doesn't get paid for his services here, but he sends like a guest list. There's always a person named Symphony. Wait, how does a dungeon master roll with a chick named Symphony?
He's fucking good at it. What?
I don't. Awesome.
All right.
There you go.
Thank
That's
you, Symphony.
That was my only question.
All right, so
he's got like an entourage.
I approach the large yellow tent in the center.
You are a far ways away from it, but you can begin your approach.
I begin that approach.
Beginning your approach.
I examine his approach.
Examining is your approach. You notice his gait seems a bit stranger than when you first started adventuring.
Hey, what gives?
I gotta hang a piss.
Well, there you go.
I take a pee and then resume my approach towards the yellow tent.
Peeing completed, you see the familiar yellow tents of Yellow Camp, the first of three Butzalot encampments. Nearby, you can see a large mound of dirt as if someone or some army had been digging a massive pit. The closer you get, the weirder things appear. Gnolls are invading Yellow Camp. You see many gnolls and many barbarians, but they don't seem to be fighting. In fact, they seem just to be hanging out and talking with one another.
Wait, the barbarians are Butzalot barbarians?
These are the Butzalot barbarians.
And there's two armies amassed?
You can see barbarians from your tribe intermingling with gnolls, large hyena-like humanoids.
All right. So they see our approach and they're not reacting
well,
to
I'm
it.
Well, I'm a barbarian. Wouldn't they be compatriots of mine, friends, possibly?
You're not in a union.
You certainly identify with their, you know, thoughts and feelings, but it's a tribe thing. You're not in their tribe, so. But, you know, you get in their heads a bit.
I'll, let me, just follow my lead, man. I'm related to these people.
Do your thing.
We approach them.
You approach them.
I
do you want, like, a parade or, like, an entourage or, like,
You
party?
Don't have to be sarcastic. I'm just approaching them and going, I go, you know, I hope that my presence is noted as I approach them. Are they ignoring me? Are they...
As you get closer and start to wave your hellos to the barbarians, they seem to take note of you before returning to ignoring you. It's been a long time since you've last been at the Butzalot Expanse. Perhaps people don't remember.
Greet them in grand fashion. Let them know who you are, your lineage.
Well, I don't want my first impression to be like a dick, you know. If they're talking to their enemies,
they're being dicks. You said hello, and they just
they're having
back
some kind of summit. I mean, those gnolls are. We just killed a bunch of them in the forest,
right?
Like we go.
They don't know that.
I know.
Or do they?
Keep it.
Oh, they might know it.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh. All right. We saw nothing. We did nothing. Just didn't deny everything.
Okay. This is like a Hope and Crosby movie.
I move to within 3 feet of them and clear my throat.
You clear your throat. A gnoll and a tall human dressed in animal skins eyes you with some amount of suspicion.
I give him one of these like. like a poor person in a crosswalk, like looking at a car that's like what? What are you gonna do? Like, you gonna marry me?
The human approaches you, eyes locked. He has a very aggressive look on his face. He says nothing. He approaches. He gets within 3 feet of you. Then two. He stops at two.
Greetings.
You seem familiar. Something about your features reminds me of someone I know.
Yeah, I'm a Butz.
A Butz? You mean a Butzalot?
Yeah.
The very same.
Yeah. I am the one that didn't come back.
Then you are a former tribesman?
Yeah.
Were Sharpie, tell them who you are, man.
I'm Sharpie Butzalot.
Sharpie Butzalot?
See?
I shouldn't have to say it.
Son of Lord Butzalot? Welcome!
Jesus.
Guys.
It's like pulling teeth with these people.
No, that's
why I left.
Walk up and say hello. You can just go up and say hi to people.
You're
suspicious of everybody.
You have to understand, I grew up in a town of 35. You expect a certain modicum of
yeah, but
of,
you've been gone for a long time, right?
It's all part of
just
their tude.
Just say hey.
Several human barbarians gather while the gnolls slowly move away, eyeing you with suspicion and caution.
Hey, I didn't want to interrupt your summit with the gnolls.
Well, you did. But I mean, that's fine. Like, what's up?
Well, what were you talking to them about? What's the beef?
We're just, you know, discussing. I mean, ever since Lord Butzalot signed the Butz Blackpaw Treaty, all the Blackpaw gnolls have been camping with us. You see, we figure if we ally, we can destroy the dwarves more handily.
Uh-oh. You guys are allying with gnolls to defeat dwarves?
Yes, you see, I mean, it's been a long, long time since you've last been here, but the goblins, the kobolds, the wild capybaras, they've all gone. It's the gnolls, the dwarves, and the barbarians. And we're all fighting.
And the dwarves are bad to you?
We don't like them. They occupy the mountains to the south. The mountains to the south are the last the stronghold of the dwarves. If we can take this stronghold, we'll be able to control the entire Butz Peninsula.
I emerge from behind this conversation and force my way right into the center and say, Sharpie, it is your birthright to regain the former glory of this Butzalot tribe. Let's unite with these people.
Jeez.
And go fight these dwarves.
What? Hold on a second. Where's my dad? I asked this guy.
He should be in Blue Camp. They're making preparations to send a special envoy to the dwarves to negotiate the terms of surrender. Seeing as how the alliance between the gnolls and the barbarians has taken hold, the dwarves are very, very scared. They've been holding up, you know, and fortifying their defenses. But they want stuff.
Listen,
sorry,
Quark,
guys.
A war between humans and dwarves is not. I mean,
they're little fuckers.
You're a little fucker.
You're a gnome.
I don't look. I'm a
I'm a
You're a self-loathing gnome.
I'm a barbarian too.
You gotta ask yourself one day,
like I'm just,
are you a gnome that became a barbarian or a barbarian that happens to be a gnome? It's from Law and Order. It was one of the black lawyers had to.
I don't.
Sam Waterston.
I've never seen that show.
Well, it doesn't. It still applies. Look, the bottom line is that dwarves and humans have lived in harmony in these parts for millennia.
Well, let's at least go meet your father. At least go sit down and meet your father.
Listen, how far is Blue Camp from Yellow Camp?
Just walk out that door and then back inside.
There's a door?
In the tent. The tent flapping an entrance portal.
Oh, so we can walk out of one flap and come right back in the same flap and it's just the Blue Camp?
Well, I
that's what he said.
That's what how it would seem, yeah.
What? Oh.
We walk out of the yellow flap and come back in a blue flap.
Exiting the tent, you turn around to see that Yellow Camp has vanished, being replaced with Blue Camp. A large blue central tent stands in the middle and is flanked by smaller blue tents. You don't know what sorcery has caused this, but you go back inside all the same. You are now in Blue Camp. There are only human barbarians. They're dressed in slightly finer clothes than the ones in Yellow Camp. They're discussing, sitting at tables, sipping drinks. You don't see your father.
So now I gotta find my dad.
Just go up and introduce yourself. Say you're the son of the guy that runs the joint. Say hello.
I feel like if we play this right, sideline between you and me, Jeff Davis, Dan Harmon.
Right.
If I make a big fuss about sitting down with my dad, who's your most famous friend that could come in and play my dad for next week's recording?
Do you want me to say? I don't know if he's in town or not.
All right.
You know what I'm thinking.
No, but just tell me, do you think you could get somebody?
I will try for one person in particular.
All right. So we'll make my dad a cameo. I'm just taking a time out and saying that. The audience didn't hear it.
And he'll be the dad?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. I think that'd be cool.
Well, and it's a role he's born to play.
All right. Okay. Spencer, you didn't hear any of that.
It's Timothy Oliphant, everybody. No, I'm kidding.
I got to find my dad if it takes all episode.
You say to no one in particular?
No, I'm saying to you. I don't know.
To the dungeon master?
Yeah. I'm saying don't find my dad this episode.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, so you're hitting pause right now because the meeting with the.
But we got to do something to bring it into the Dungeons and Dragons segment. Is there a little slug we can hit with our sword and win some gold pieces? Because they always applaud when we kill something.
Maybe. You're in Blue Camp, though, right now. You don't see your father. Maybe you should ask around, and then maybe some exposition will happen for that.
All right.
It'll be fulfilled.
I examine my asking around.
You examine the asking around. Nothing happens.
I step forward and say, I, being but a little... what am I again?
A gnome? Barbarian.
My friend is very shy. Where is Lord Butzalot?
Lord Butzalot? We've seen him a few days ago, but we believe he's in Red Camp, preparing for battle.
I walk out of the blue flap and go back in the red flap.
You walk out the blue flap. Behind you, you see the red tent of Red Camp. You enter Red Camp.
It's so easy.
It's magic, you guys.
I know, I love it.
But
sometimes you need a gnome barbarian to get shit done.
Entering Red Camp, you see several generals decked out in full military gear. They're looking at maps and pushing figures around. You still don't see your father.
Where is Lord Butzalot?
You ask. Everyone turns and looks at you. How did you get into Red Camp?
There's a series of magic flaps, you guys. I don't know who's running security at this camp.
Who told you of our flaps?
We used our keen insight and our awareness of our surroundings.
Well, 'tis the little Butzalot returned, is it not?
Yeah, but I'm a big Butzalot now. You may have noticed.
Big Butzalot, so what's a lot?
I remember you, Leonard.
Deadeye Duncan.
What?
Dead-Eye Duncan.
I remember you, Dead-Eye Duncan.
Live-Eye Leonard was my little brother.
Yeah. Your whole family always thought that rhyming things constituted a touche.
Well, ever since Grandpa Eight-Eyes, we just went with it.
Sharpie. Grandpa Eight-Eyes?
Sharpie.
Roller Skate Eyes.
Sharpie.
He eyes you with a newfound respect.
Yeah. It's that easy, you little fuckers. That's why your clan's not in charge.
I pull Sharpie aside. Sharpie, ask him if he likes big butts a lot.
Jesus, for that? All right. Listen, I need to find my dad. I've been out abroad and been gaining experience and fighting human centipedes and just doing all kinds of things. I don't want the story to turn into a different thing. I mean, I just want to find my dad.
He issues a grunting gurgle, and the other war generals leave the premises. He looks to his left and then to his right suspiciously before motioning you to approach closer.
You know what's going on?
I wouldn't tell this to anyone but his own son, but Lord Butzalot gathered 12 of our bravest warriors and left out last night. We think he was on his way to the dwarven encampment, but we can't be sure.
All right. Listen, buddy, you've come with me this far. I'm going to say the same thing to you I said to Rob Schraub when I quit the Sarah Silverman program. I don't expect you to follow me everywhere.
I think that we should go after your father, and you should help out, and you should be at his right hand during this battle against the dwarves. But I think we should wait till next week when possibly there will be some stunt casting.
I'm glad you said that, but with an emphasis on I don't think we should fight the dwarves. I'm conflicted about this. It sounds like a bunch of shenanigans to me.
The only thing that worries me is that we just kicked a bunch of gnolls' asses, and your guys are in league with the gnolls. They're going to find out that we've killed a bunch of gnolls, and we're going to be in deep shit.
We don't have to ever talk about that ever again.
They're going
to
find out.
It will never matter.
They watch Law and Order too, probably, don't they?
Well, at any rate, we both agree on one thing. We're heading out on the trail of my father. Father. Father.
You head out on the trail of your father.
And so ends our D&D campaign.
Spencer, everybody. Spencer. Yeah, that one's transitional. We're teeing it up for next week.
Yeah, I didn't know what we were going to do in that thing anyway.
Yeah.
I was probably too hands-on.
But really, I personally love Spencer and the job that he does. And I know that people on Twitter and people listening out there love Spencer. Let's hear it for Spencer. He's fucking...
You're saying the love is more genuine for him than it is for Adam Goldberg.
I love Adam Goldberg, too.
How do we end the show? Every week we
You can just say thank you and you can...
No.
I can say let's hear for Dan Harmon. They'll clap and we'll get out of here.
No. It won't do. These people deserve better. They deserve something protracted. What's your idea, Adam?
Dan Harmon won the 2012 election and he gives a thank you speech to Harmontown.
It's not a bad idea.
Say it again on mic.
Adam said...
And now, welcome your new... It's a hot mic.
No, you're a hot person.
Thank you. Now, welcome the new president of the United States, Dan Harmon.
All right. Wow, I can't believe I won the election. Here's what I'm going to do. Every war that we were in... We're going to stay in. Everyone that was poor is going to stay just as poor. Everyone that was rich is going to stay just as rich. Nothing is going to change. I'll see you in 3.5 years when I start inexplicably defending my position as if it ever existed. I'm a big rich asshole that lords over you and eclipses your life and convinces you that your neighbors are racist pedophiles. Thank you for coming, and happy 2012 to 2016. All right, that was a bummer.
No, that was good.
That was a bummer. All right. USA, 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 USA. You try to take this country away? Harmontown will remain.
Thank you, everybody,
Thanks,
for coming
guys.
To Harmontown tonight. I want to thank Fedora for coming up. Adam Goldberg, as always. Spencer, our Dungeon Master. Katie Levine, Zach McKeever, Emily Gordon, Daniel Kramer, Justin Marshall, Mo Fathelbab, Jenny Fine, Sharu Shackett. And once again, I'm Jeff Davis, the comptroller. And one more time for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon, everybody.
God bless each one of us, and God bless America. God bless you for voting. God bless every state. God bless every...
Dan, call it right now. Who do you think wins tomorrow?
I'm going to go ahead and call it for Obama. But don't be jaded because of that. If I turn out to be right, don't let that make you think that it doesn't matter.
Thank you all. We love you.